We have the drinking vet. No, I'm sorry. We have Mike McClenahan, who is a DVM, which I think is a veterinarian, who hosts a podcast in which people just sit around and they get schlocked with their pets. Is that right? Maybe I'm oversimplifying the concept there.
I mean, it's pretty close. I mean, the idea is if you met a couple of vets at a cocktail party and you wanted to ask them unfiltered questions, this is what you'd get.
Yeah. And what? Give me an example of something that falls into that category. Do they do at cocktail parties? But do people wander up with their slurring their words and talk about God knows what? And that's what you're trying to replicate, right?
Yeah, I mean, you get that. But really, there's a lot of podcasts out there and videos out there about like how to trim your dog's nails and how to handle when your dog is sick or has diarrhea or vomiting. What do you do? And we wanted to have one that was more like, what do vets talk about?
Yeah.
So we handle some pretty heavy topics like suicide in the veterinary community. We talk about euthanasia, money. But we also have lighthearted ones like love in veterinary medicine, which was really a chance for my co-host to just make fun of me for an hour.
I would have tuned in for that. No, I'm kidding. I don't want to gloss over that. I had no idea that there was suicide in your community. That's news.
We're the third, as far as rate of suicide.
Wow.
I think police and I think we're just ahead of dentists. I think it's police and military or that.
Yeah.
And it's a real problem in the veterinary community. We're something like three times more likely than the general public to commit suicide. It's a tough thing. Because, you think about it, we're all type A people. We all really love our jobs and our animals, and we work really hard. And we lose all of our patients too because we know we outlive them. So it's a tough thing, but we're making strides.
I had not thought about that. All right. Well, let's make sure people are a little more informed. So
yeah.
I forgot.
Be nice to your vet people. Yeah.
All right. Let me spin this. You have a ferret.
I did at one point. That is true.
Yeah. No longer.
She has passed quite a while ago. Okay. Her name was Emily, and she was adorable.
And what's the ferrets kind of, they need like a publicist because they're not the bad people or people. They're not the bad animals that we think. Is that correct?
Oh no. They're hilarious for one thing. They're very funny and, they do like to cuddle. The funniest thing about them is they like to make nests. So they're always stealing little things. And I can't tell you the number of times we would find like a bunch of socks, behind the couch or something. And, the ferret spent most of its time sleeping, but the other time stealing socks and stealing things. And they jump around and they think they're hilarious. They just think they're the funniest things ever.
That is charming.
Yeah.
And you, really. And I think you and I talked about the sloth when we were talking. That's another funny, funny animal.
They're,
did you have a sloth?
They are funny. I have never had a sloth. I think they can I'll just let them stay in zoos and in the wild.
But
I just imagine a sloth being mad at you and you're like, you're just waiting there. Are you mad? Are you going to swipe at me? What's going on here?
That's where they go bond.
A day later.
They go bond and help the ferret steal your socks. Right? What
there you go.
Yeah.
If you can't find the sloth, probably the ferret took it and put it under the couch.
We have so many, and as you know, we've been attempting to do this show for now 6 months, and you were nice enough to come on again. We're surrounded by animals here, Dr. Mike. I do a morning chat with the birds. I'm starting to understand what they are saying. And we talk about dogs and cats and things like that, but, let me just grab something. I get all my information from the magazines on the Walgreens rack when I go in. Because it's always when you're on vacation, right? You go down, you're going, Saga.
I read a magazine.
Sure, right, absolutely. Yeah. Argosy, I haven't seen that one lately. So anyway, I've
forgotten there were such a thing.
So I picked up this thing. It's a Time publication. It's called The Science of Memory. And mm-hmm. there is an entire chapter on, it's called An Elephant Never Forgets. And oh. it talks about the fact that an elephant's brain is 10 pounds. And it talks mm-hmm. about all these, the opening of it, I won't bore you with this. And it talks, yeah. this is quicker. Shirley yeah. and Jenny had not laid eyes on each other for more than 2 decades. But mm. the old friends were brought together and the moment was beyond dramatic. It's not two girlfriends, it's two elephants who saw each other after like 20 years and they recognized each other. You don't know, I didn't want to spin you. You don't work on elephants yourself, but what about that?
I don't, but you know, I am not a bit surprised. You know, I've seen pets that I hadn't seen in a year and they recognize me. They're excited to see me. You know, they're happy when they get in there. And you know what? I saw one of my, I ran the Boston Marathon a few years ago and it was just by coincidence, my childhood friend who I hadn't seen in 30 years, was running it at the same time. When I saw him, we knew we were going to be there. We saw each other and it was like, we hadn't skipped a beat. Like we were, you know, middle schoolers or high schoolers yeah. again. You know, I'm not surprised.
Well, how do pets recognize? I shouldn't say pets. Well, how do animals recognize us? Do they see us?
It depends on the animal, right? Like, yeah. you think about how a dog perceives the world. Their vision isn't as good as ours, but they can smell something like a million times better than us. A million times. So they're smelling. Their sense of smell goes like back in time. They can be like, oh, this was here 2 days ago, and this was yesterday. You know, whenever people say, oh, my dog was nervous when it came into the vet, like as soon as we pulled in, I'm like, well, they can smell the dogs that were here and are sick, you know, a very different perception. So, you know, to me, it would be depending on the animal.
And it's really like yeah. when they're sniffing each other, it's not pleasant to look at, but they are, it's like a huge database, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and they're seeing not just what's there now, but what was there yesterday and the day before. So they're seeing back through time with their noses. I'm just fascinated. Like, I can't imagine what that would be like in the, you know, what the world would be like.
How has the veterinarian business been under the COVID? Are you having more or less illnesses, injuries? What's happening?
Every vet that I talk to is swamped and overwhelmed with work. And there's a couple of reasons. I mean, I haven't taken a full lunch break since March.
Wow.
I haven't, you know, basically I get time to run, go pee, and then I'm back at work. I don't sit down all day. Mm. And I think there's a couple of things going on. One is we're doing a lot of curbside, you know, people not coming into the hospital, so everything takes longer. And number two, there are several vet clinics that have had to shut down because of COVID, because, you know, their staff has gotten it and they have, or their staff has gone away or moved away, or the veterinarian got sick and they had to shut down for a while. And so all the vet clinics that are left are getting all that overflow, but we're booked out weeks in advance.
How does the curbside work? What is that?
Yeah, they'll pull up and they'll call in, or we have a text number that's written on a sign out there, you know, and then a technician runs out, you know, full mask and gloves and everything, takes the patient, cat or dog or whatever, and brings it in.
Oh, okay.
And then they do the exam inside. Okay. And then I call them, and they say, oh, no, what about this? And I go back and look at the animal again, and then I call them again, and then we come up with a plan. It just really takes a lot of people and a lot of time. But
Jeez.
What we're trying to do is decrease that amount of time we're in proximity to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about rescuing animals. It seems like every pet we hope these days is a rescue animal.
Mm-hmm.
What about that? Are you in the rescue business, or you just help them after they're rescued? How's that all go?
Yeah, we're making big progress on decreasing the number of homeless animals. My birthday was last week.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I won't tell you how old I was, but I'm old enough that if I sleep too long, it hurts. Sleep is kicking my butt.
Oh,
but for my birthday, I made this funny video. You know those videos where they're like, please, won't you give a dollar to help these pets in need? But I made one about dogs that can't catch. It's all slow motion of dogs missing.
That's funny.
And you can see it on my Instagram, Bowtie Vet Guy, or on YouTube, Bowtie Vet Guy. And I thought, well, you know what? I'm actually going to raise money for some homeless pets. So my sister said, just put your Venmo up there and have people send you money.
Yeah.
And when, you know, I got like $1,000 that I'm going to give to local charities. Yeah.
Wow.
People just sent it to me, trusting that I'm going to give it to to where it is. Jeez. I could just send it. Nobody knows.
Yeah.
But the rescues, you know, it's all my pets are rescues. You know, I don't get too upset with people if they get a non-rescue pet. But I do think if you get a dog or a cat that's from a breeder, you also should end up rescuing one to sort of even it out.
That's nice. Okay. That sounds right to me. We're talking here to the Bowtie Vet Guy, Dr. Mike McClanahan, who has a podcast we can plug, and he's got YouTube stuff, and he's got an Instagram account. This is a good question here. Sparks asked me to ask you, if you could have any animal in the world, no restrictions, what animal would that be?
You know, a living, dead, anything, or individual animal, or species.
Well, hopefully a live one.
Yeah. Well, no, my first thought was...
Oh, you mean extinct?
I would love to have my childhood pet back.
Okay.
Just for a day.
Yeah.
Just to see him for a day.
Was that dog or a cat?
I had a cat from the time I was 14 until I was 30.
Oh man,
that's a lot of life. You know, that's high school, that's college, that's getting married. That's, you know, that was a great cat.
What breed of cat was that?
It was, you know, the orange tabby cat from a barn.
Wow.
His name was Barney. He was born in a barn.
Oh, that's cute.
And I grew up in Iowa, so you know, there was a lot.
Did
of
you really? Where?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Where?
A little bitty town called Sigourney, Iowa.
Yeah.
My dad lived in Dubuque.
Yeah.
Graduate. Yeah. I have family. I have family in Chicago. They're in Naperville.
I used to be on WOC. Do you know that station?
WOC in
Quad Cities, booming all over the
state.
Yeah,
yeah. I was going to say. Yeah, I was in Burlington my last couple years.
Yeah. Ronald Reagan and I worked together, kind of.
Really?
Speaking of
you
too
work,
old,
did you work with a monkey too?
Speaking of too old to sleep properly, but
mm-hmm.
Small
world.
Go ahead, say again.
Small world.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is. I like talking about animals. I'm realizing what a good thing. I still don't have a pet. It's a virtual pet.
Yeah.
We talked about this, but I think
you're going to get one.
Yeah, maybe. I told you
with a cat.
A cat? You said
a
that.
Cat.
You pictured
me
with a cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What's the best breed of a cat?
You know, they're what we call the domestic short hair cat, which is just the mutt cat.
Yeah.
You know, that's what most of the cats are in this area. You know, we get people that like the Sphinx cat. We see some of those. Those are the hairless ones.
Right.
Yeah, and you either love those or you hate them.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're weird looking, man.
I know.
Weird looking.
Yeah.
But they're nice, you know. Like, oh, a cat should be furry, but this one feels like skin. It's weird.
What's the smartest animal? I'll leave you with a con, and then we'll hang up. So if people disagree, then you're gone, right?
I'm gone, so they can't, you know, they can find me if they want. The smartest non-human animal, I'm going to go with bonobo, because all they do is sit around and relax all day.
I don't know what a bonobo is.
It's like a monkey in that one. It's in the Great Apes, I think.
Okay.
Bonobo people.
Bonobo.
They're great. And the women are in charge in the bonobos.
Yeah, that's why that's why things work better, I think, and that's
absolutely
society. Wow,
absolutely.
What a treat to have you on. Let's make sure people know about your podcast. Go ahead.
It's called The Vets Unleashed, and you can find it on Apple, you know, podcasts. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Right.
You can find me on Instagram at the Bowtie Vet Guy, YouTube Bowtie Vet Guy, because I wear a bow tie and I'm a vet and a guy.
And where that video that you shot decrying the dog's inability to catch, is that posted somewhere?
That's on my YouTube channel and on my Instagram. Absolutely.
Wow. Good luck to you. I mean it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. It's been great talking to you, of course.
We'll hang out in Iowa together. We'll go have a loose meat sandwich.
Yeah, and then a pork tenderloin and then ice cream.
Oh, man. Dr. Mike, thank you, man.
Thanks a lot.
See ya.